The public have been urged not to use ViroPro sanitising products, which have been recalled. As well as being used in some of our schools, the HSE confirmed that 1 million units of the sanitiser had been distributed to its healthcare facilities. The gel sanitiser contains methanol, which is known to be a dangerous chemical if ingested, inhaled or absorbed through the skin. To talk more about this and other matters, we're joined now by Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer of the HSE. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Well, we heard 1 million units went into hospitals, nursing homes, GPs' offices, dental offices. SIPTU saying it's concerned for its 40,000 health service members. How quickly can the HSE replace this product in its health settings?
Well, there is a product recall gone on these. We had 3 million altogether, 2 million are in stock and 1 million have gone out to the delivery system. And clearly, as happens sometimes with medications or otherwise, we've done a product recall on those. And it's important to reassure anyone listening. We've done a preliminary assessment of this and the issue pertains to whether it's effective or whether it's safe. So the WHO recommends to be effective, a hand gel must contain at least 60% alcohol. That's predominantly in the form of ethanol. And in the three specimens we've analysed, this is provisional, we see that there's sufficient or near sufficient levels of ethanol to be effective. In one of the products, it's below it would be about at the order of 9%. And there's a proportion of methanol, which if taken in large proportions over a protracted period of time, not just so way beyond what the intended use is, might present a hazard, but not, we believe, at the level of use for which it is advised, namely as a hand wash. And to add to what you're saying, the main reason for recall is in terms of its efficacy for one of those three components, but also, as you point out, that if it was ingested, which is clearly is not what hand wash is meant to be used for.
Okay, so it is effective against viruses, but if people have it in their homes and it was on general sale, is it dangerous to children who tend to put their fingers into their mouths or their eyes, etc.?
Well, as I say, we've done a preliminary assessment. That has to be completed yet. One of the products contains methanol, which is not meant to be ingested. It used to be used years ago in the form of methylated spirits in hospital and healthcare settings, but not meant to be ingested. And for this reason, we're recalling the product. But hand gel in any format, okay, with or without methanol, is not meant to be ingested by anybody for any purpose.
We see 295 people in hospital today with COVID-19, 37 of these in ICU. Does this mean that things are stabilising?
I think it's too early, to be honest. What we're seeing, and I just listened carefully to what the Taoiseach was saying, that we're right across Europe, we're witnessing a huge surge in cases and a spread among older and vulnerable groups. And we are hearing this morning and over the weekend of measures being considered by European countries, including extension of curfew, including a state of emergency in Spain, reflecting the degree of concern in European countries. And their experience is exactly the same as ours, except that they're a couple of weeks ahead of us, if you like. So if you look at what's happened in Europe, as is reflected in the Irish experience in the second wave, is a surge in cases in outbreaks than younger people. And then what we've discovered, and what we knew and we've discovered again proven, is that you can't contain this virus among younger age groups. It's inevitable it will seep out off younger age groups. And remember, those age groups right across Europe, 19 to 24, we're seeing the big peak. But it goes outside those age groups into older age groups and into vulnerable settings. And the ECDC in its most recent assessment said that that widespread community transmission, the order of which we are seeing now, that it becomes more and more difficult to protect vulnerable groups. And it becomes inevitable that serious illness will happen in people who are not in designated vulnerable groups. So we're learning that lesson for a second time now throughout Europe, that you cannot contain this within one particular age group. Inevitably, it seeps into vulnerable age groups.
Can I ask you about schools then? There are reports that rapid testing is to be introduced in schools. Can you comment on this? And how will the HSE better support principals who feel that they have been left isolated by the HSE?
Well, just to touch on the testing first, I saw that report this morning to which you're referring about the antigen testing. I think we have to be very clear about this. The gold standard testing remains PCR testing. It is by far the most sensitive test which is done for COVID-19. There are a range of antigen tests out there in the market. Many of them have been self-measured, if you like, by the manufacturers. And the degree of sensitivity does not approach PCR. And some of the independent evaluations of these antigen tests show that, they don't approach near the sensitivity either on the studies performed by the companies themselves in smaller numbers.
So we're not ready yet to roll that out.
And just to say what, can I just say what that means for people is this is an area where false negatives are of particular importance. We can't afford a situation where we employ a test which misses people who have COVID-19, where there's another test already available which is a higher degree of sensitivity and picks people up, not just for the person's health themselves, but for the welfare of their family and any close contacts that they've been with.
Can I just ask you about the schools, the principals and the teachers, 2 months into the school term, they still don't know what they're supposed to do if a child tests positive in a class. Who do they send home? The whole class or just the close contacts? What extra clarity can you give to schools on this?
Well, our public health departments in all 8 departments have been working hard since the opening of schools, not just in working with the principals, the teachers in the schools, preparing the schools. And I'd like to acknowledge the huge work done by schools up and down the country in preparing the schools to make the environment as safe as possible for children and for staff. So they've worked very closely. Out of the 4,000 so schools that have opened since September, we have identified cases in 634, and following an assessment by our public health professionals who go in there and carry out a risk assessment. Each school is a different setting, but they apply those public health principles of establishing who is a close contact, who needs to be tested, how do we keep this environment safe. They've tested 16,000 students and teachers, and the positivity rate, which is some reassurance, is considerably lower than the community transmission rate. Now, can I just point out for people who don't the ECDC, that's the European Centre for Disease Control, carried out its own evaluation of schools and the reopening of schools based largely on the Danish experience in other countries, and they have found, and it's been reflected in our experience, that transmission within schools is not a major driver of community transmission, and that infection that arises in a student in school is more likely than not to be acquired in the community.
Right, and underlines the point. Schools, by and large, I'm sorry to cut across you, they're happy to stay open, and we know that's a primary goal here. But what extra help will be given to schools to deal with outbreaks when they occur?
In addition to our public health teams, we're setting up teams with the Department of Health over the midterm break through each community health care organisation to support schools as a place of first contact. So in addition to contacting our public health departments, there will be a specific team in each CHO, community health care organisation, for schools to contact as a portal of first contact for any advice they need, be it on an individual case, be it on the assessment of the whole school, or be it on designation of close contacts.
Okay, Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE, thank you very much for joining us.